Hey everybody, welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen and today is February 3rd. Today we're going to continue in this week's Come Follow Me block, but before we do, I want to clarify something really quickly. I've had a few of you reach out to ask me about this idea of Christ not teaching in the synagogues before the age of 30, because we do know that he taught at the temple as a young boy. But I think that there's a really big difference between those two experiences, which lead me to believe that teaching in the synagogues on the Sabbath wasn't necessarily his custom yet. In his experience in the temple, what we know about it is it says that when they found Christ, they saw him sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. So what we can gather from the experience in the temple is he was sitting among doctors and they were having conversations. He was answering questions. He was asking them questions. It was more of a discussion that was being had on the temple grounds rather than him preaching in an official capacity there in the temple. There was nothing against a Jewish boy or Jewish man before the age of 30 having these kind of discussions and teaching and discussing things like that. It was just the official capacity of standing up in synagogue on the Sabbath that you needed to be a rabbi or a teacher or have some sort of official capacity in the Jewish religion, which, again, you needed to be 30 in order to have that. So I'm not saying I'm absolutely right. I'm not saying that this is 100% fact. In my mind, that is probably the case. Just knowing Jewish tradition and custom and knowing how carefully they guarded their traditions and their customs, I'm guessing he probably wasn't allowed to stand and to preach in a synagogue on the Sabbath before the age of 30, even though he did have these kind of opportunities to teach and discuss things before the age of 30. I hope that makes sense to those of you who reached out and asked me about that or wanted to talk about that. So let's jump into this week's Come Follow Me block with Christ beginning to call his disciples. Now we're going to see a similar story in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 5, but we're going to get a lot more detail in Luke chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 4, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting their net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Now, the story differs just a little bit in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, they were done fishing for the night and they were cleaning their nets. And Christ tells them to get on their boats again, to go out to sea and to cast their nets. And they said, you know what, we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught a single fish. We're done with this. And Christ gets them to go and do it. And they cast their nets. And when they pull it in, there's so many fish there that their nets break. Now, I'm going to pause right there in the story because I think that there's a really important lesson for us to learn in that. And that is, as we're off doing the Lord's work, as we are even doing our own work at times, I think that this is true in our professions, in our careers, in our efforts in parenthood, as well as our efforts in our callings in the church. When we put effort into anything, our efforts are always going to be more fruitful when we combine our work with the Lord's power. We will always be able to accomplish more with the Lord on our side than we would trying to accomplish things by ourselves. Here, Simon and Andrew had been out fishing all night long. It had been totally fruitless. But when the Lord comes and combines his effort with them, when he tells them to go, his power is included in that. And then they catch so many fish, they can't even pull it all up. It reminds me of a quote by President Eyring, which says, "When you do your part, the Lord adds his power to your efforts." But my friends, let's not forget to invite the Lord's power into our efforts. Let's not forget to plead with him to add his power to our efforts, because when we join forces, we can accomplish a whole lot more with him than we ever could without him. But let's continue on in these verses and see an incredible attribute of these disciples. Verse 7, after they see that their nets start to break, it says, "They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Now there's something beautiful about this story. And there's also a really beautiful added detail, just one added word in the book of Matthew. And that's that they straightway forsook their nets and followed him. It's the immediacy of their willingness to drop anything and everything that would prevent them from following Jesus that adds power to their faith. Keep in mind, this was their profession. Simon and Andrew and the sons of Zebedee, this was how they provided for their families. Their families, I'm sure, ate the fish that they caught. They bought things with the fish that they sold. This was everything. Women, I want you to imagine that all of a sudden your husband came home one day and he was like, yeah, I quit my job. I don't have another one yet. I just quit it. Like, that is a scary moment. Husbands, I want you to imagine being fired from your job, not knowing where you were going to go to provide for your family. That is a scary idea. And here, they willingly, immediately forsook their nets, and not just their nets, but their professions, their security, their way of life, everything that they knew, they forsook immediately, straightway, in order to follow Jesus. Now, my friends, each and every one of us in our lives, in our efforts to follow Christ, in our efforts to do good, each and every one of us have nets that weigh us down. Every single one of us has something that prevents us from following Christ more closely. I know I have lots of nets. We all do. We all have them. But can we have the faith of Simon to let go of the things that would keep us from following Christ more closely? One of my favorite quotes of all time, I've quoted it many times on this podcast, so hopefully you're not sick of it, but one of my favorite quotes ever is by Elder Holland when he says, "We must be willing to place all that we have, not just our possessions, they may be the easiest things of all, but also our ambitions and pride and stubbornness and vanity. We must place it all on the altar of God, kneel there in silent submission, and willingly walk away." Now, it's interesting when we talk about Simon and Andrew and the sons of Zebedee, when we talk about them forsaking their nets, that was more of a possession that they were giving up, right? They were giving up their careers. They were giving up their ways of life. They were giving up their ability to provide for themselves and for their families. Money, right? That was more of a possession, even though I'm sure there was more to it than that. Elder Holland here says that sometimes our possessions are the easiest things of all to give up. Sometimes paying tithing is easier than giving up our sins or our ambitions or our vanity or our pride or our stubbornness. Sometimes when we have something physically to give, it can be easier because we can physically do it and let go. But when it comes to these attributes, these things that would keep us from becoming more like Christ, our ambition and pride and stubbornness and vanity, those things can be harder to let go of because it's not as physical, it's not as immediate. But Elder Holland teaches us that we have to be willing to take those un-Christ-like attributes that sometimes we have, and we have to be willing to place them on his altar and then willingly walk away from them, straightway, immediately forsake them, as the disciples of old straightway, immediately forsook their nets. Now, my friends, don't get me wrong. In our efforts to overcome attributes that aren't Christ-like, in our efforts to overcome the things in our lives that keep us from following Christ more closely, it is oftentimes not a one-time event. We don't just go to the altar that one time, place something on the altar, and then walk away and never see it again. Oftentimes, we return to that altar often, pick it up again, hold on to it for a while, and then have to leave it again. That is the process of life, and our Father in heaven understands that. He forgives 70 times 7 because he understands that in our process of trying to become more Christ-like, we will often make the same mistake again and again. But the beauty of the atonement of Jesus Christ is that Christ consistently invites us to let go of our nets and to follow him. And he consistently forgives us when, even if we've done it a million times before, we willingly, with our whole heart, offer that net to him to take. It's my testimony that when we willingly offer him our nets, he empowers us to become more, to become better, and little by little, piece by piece, become more like Him. Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay Hansen.